It would take your grandfather's hands to explain your hands, because talent, perhaps, cannot be taught, but only nurtured. There has to be a seed, of course, but also someone who takes care of it. You never wanted to be an artist, Achille, even though that is all you did in life. You gave new meaning to forms, things, to the point of making them common, domestic, even anonymous. That was your aim, to use them so they could be used, until their creator was forgotten. Humilitas is the motto of the House of Borromeo. Every Milanese artisan, architect, or artist has this imprinted in his or her genetic code. In order to exist, stories travel a long road before they reach us. The voyage of the Johnson family from England to Milan was a long one too. They settled here, setting up shop in the early 1800s. James made metal buttons for the army. In 1860, his son Stefano moved the foundry to Corso di Porta Nuova, at number 15. Your grandfather Giacomo, in charge of the plant, worked right here. He had a practical mind and an eye on new developments. He was the first to import the vermeil technique for the medals the foundry produced in everlasting tribute to the local bourgeoisie. Sterling silver plated with 10K gold. Little treasures at an affordable price. Noble without being arrogant. Humilitas, indeed. It was but a short walk to Brera, a walk taken every day by Giannino, your father, when he studied at the Fine Arts Academy. Maybe considering making one's living with art in Milan wasn't so discreditable, but the father of Livia, the girl Giannino had met by the lake in Lierna, certainly didn't approve. He was the principal of a classical high school in Brianza, an almost superhuman authority in those austere years. The last thing he intended to do was to grant his daughter's hand in marriage to a disreputable bohemian who came from the big city with his head full of wild ideas. What would people say? But Giannino, like the father, had good hands and a head on his shoulders. An artist, yes, but with a practical bent. Adelante, but con juicio. He began engraving medals for the Johnson Foundry. A job, a salary, a family, a home to organize. And while he was at it, a tireless worker but still an artist, a sculpture workshop. Where? At Porta Nuova, obviously. It takes your father's passion to explain your own, Achille. You must have roamed around your city in those years and seen his works. The same works you had watched as they came to life in that workshop at Porta Nuova. If you walked by the Cattolica University, there was his Christ the King at the university entrance. If you entered the cathedral, you did so through the door sculptured by your father, the one that is always open so nobody looks at it. The Baptisms of St. Augustine, yet another story of Milan. On the way back home, ever since you were about 9 years old, you trailed your fingers through the water of the fountain of St. Francis at Piazza Santa Maria degli Angeli, at Porta Nuova, obviously. Art was an everyday thing, a domestic thing for you, a family thing. It takes Livio's visionary nature to understand your way of working, Achille. Livio, your big brother, who took a degree in architecture and opened a studio with a classmate, Luigi Cacciadominioni, immediately joined by Pier Giacomo, the other brother, where, it goes without saying, Porta Nuova. As soon as you graduated, you joined the firm. After the war, Cacciadominioni decided to go his own way, and Livio was already starting to have other things in mind. He was fascinated by science, radio waves, music, technology. In those years, you three brothers designed the Nova Radio Receiver together. Basically, it was a way of putting your childhood adventures into practice, to make them into a profession. Do you remember when you were 10, in the attic with Livio and Pier Giacomo, and you made two radio receivers and a transmitter? The three of you never stopped playing. Even after the war, adults by now, you went to lunch on Sundays above your father's studio on the first floor since the family apartment had been bombed. How many people were there? counting parents, children, grandchildren. How many soccer matches in that 19th century courtyard on Corso di Porta Nuova, amidst crafts workshops and stray cats. Livio made you feel like pioneers. Even as grown-ups, you never stopped playing, with that serious mien only kids have. Playing to experiment, to learn new forms, new ways of looking at the world, like pioneers. Livio left the studio to become a consultant for Fonola, and then for Brion Vega, but the three of you certainly didn't stop playing together. Especially at Liena, when you launched balloons of tissue paper and then had to chase them with a boat out on the lake to retrieve them. You learned about lightness, about what was essential, the substance of the ephemeral. All this came in handy when, with Pier Giacomo, you had to design installations for the pavilions of the Rai or the companies Montecatini or Eni at the Milan Fair, that sort of miniature universal exposition which took stock of developments in technology and business every spring. Worksites of impermanence, gardens of wonders, where craftsmen, masons and electricians built fantastic temporary worlds. To prepare the exhibits, you worked with graphic designers like Tovaglia, Provinciali, Bianconi, Iliprandi, Mondaini. Plenty of all-night sessions to meet the deadlines. It takes the precision of Max Huber to understand what friendship means to you, Achille. They say that Huber came to Milan for a work appointment, but he had no business cards. So he made one there, on the spot, etching it into a piece of cardboard, as perfect as if it had been printed on a press. Your work was team effort, full of exchanges, everyone learning from everyone else. But apart from professional life, there were the personal relationships. When you three brothers went to his wedding at Zug, you put together a makeshift fireworks display for the newlyweds, like mischievous demolition men. A friendship that lasted a lifetime. In 1957, at Villa Olmo in Como, you and your brother designed the interiors of a modern house, a living room for the home of today. Your play had become a laboratory of experiences. You assembled common, banal objects to transmute them into new forms. Ready-mades that granted new life to refuse. Stools, armchairs, wall bookcases. All prototypes that later became standard products. Made with the hands more than by means of drawings. The same thing happened at Palazzo Strozzi in Florence in 1965 with the inhabited house. Tables, flatware, wall clocks. These treasure troves, packed with ideas, brought you international honours and prizes over the years. But for you, what counted was to continue to have good hands, enthusiasm and visions. In the meantime, the studio was moved. In 1962, the decrepit building on Corso di Porta Nuova was demolished. Today, nothing remains of the city of your father, your grandfather. Only memories, only stories. With Pier Giacomo, you found a ground floor space on Foro Bonaparte. From the studio window, you could see the reassuring bulk of Castello Sforzesco. For 40 years, that studio welcomed helpers, friends, colleagues, fans. You gathered anonymous objects there, models, rough drafts, in a sort of playful wunderkammer. It took the early death of your brother Pier Giacomo in 1968 to make you understand the emptiness of loss and the duty of inheritance. Together, you had designed the new facility of the Permanente, the Church of San Gabriele on Via delle Termopili, that gem of interior design that was the Splugenbroi bar in a building by your friend Caccia Dominioni, dismantled years later by short-sighted new management. Pier Giacomo had already been teaching at the Polytechnic for about a decade. Now it was your turn to move forward with this transmission of knowledge. In 1969, you gained a lecturing post. You became a professor, even though you still had fans spangling the ceiling of your studio with playing cards attached with pins. First in Turin, starting in 1971, in Artistic Design for Industry. What a great way to define all your activity, much more apt and true than the banal, pretentious term used in English, industrial design. Then, at your polytechnic in Milan until 1993. Your formal experiments, your cheeky youthful games. At a university exam, when you were still in your teens, you submitted a model for a casa del fascio made out of cheese, are now exhibited in prestigious museums all over the world. The more they imitated your works, feeble emulations that aped the forms without understanding the philosophy, the more amused you were. Go ahead, you thought. Copy. It means I was on the right track when I was playing with the material. For you, the important thing was to know how to make fun of yourself, like Jacques Tati, and also not to make too big a deal out of this design, to take society for what it is. Actually, of all your projects, all your works, the Mezzadro chair, the Arco, Parentesi and Gibigiana lamps, the dry flatware, your true favourite was a simple electrical switch, a light switch. Every day, even now, hundreds of thousands of units are still being produced. Who knows how many electricians have installed it, how many are still installing it, without knowing who designed it. A device in thermosetting plastic that simply performs its function. An anonymous piece by an anonymous author. It takes humilitas, as the Borromeus remind us. It takes Milan to explain who you were, Achille.